Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
As we're walking through this series on generosity called Making Change. Everybody say, Making Change. Making Change. And the whole concept behind this series is that we want you to realize that God works through your generous acts, your acts of kindness to change and to impact the lives of people. And a lot of times when we think about generosity, we don't always kind of associate the two. We don't always kind of connect the two. Sometimes we kind of think that the acts of kindness that we do, that they're devoid of life change and that they don't really kind of make a difference. Like you'll see the infomercials and they'll be like, hey, if you send $1 a day, you know, you can change a person's life. I think sometimes we kind of look at those things and, you know, we kind of quickly turn the channel because one, it's like, man, they're just asking me for my money. Two, I don't even know if it's going to actually affect the change. But the thing I want us to understand is actually God works through our generosity to bring forth change in the lives of other people. So we talked a little bit about that last week, and if you weren't here last week, you can go on our app. Matter of fact, go to the app store, download our app, the Bridge Church app, whether you got Apple or Android, whatever, it's up there. And as a matter of fact, if you do have our app, go ahead and pull out the app right now, and you can click on the resources tab in the app and flip to the message notes where we kind of give you the opportunity to kind of take notes along as the message is essentially going on. But today I want to read a passage that really speaks a lot about generosity and to help us kind of see how God works through our generosity to change the lives of people. So I want to look at Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 31. And we got it on the screen for you guys if you don't happen to have a Bible. We actually have a Bible for you in your app, in the app that we've created. So you got a Bible, courtesy of the church. But Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 31, here's what it says. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why you hang out with them people? And Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And verse 29 is kind of where we're going to do most of our work today. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. If you're taking notes, I'm simply calling this message, use what you got. Tell the person beside you and say it like you mean it. Say it mean, make a mean mug face at them and tell them, use what you got. Yeah, got to say it mean. A little scowl on your face. You better use what you got, right? Some of y'all have flashbacks like when your parents were getting ready to pop you. You better sit down. That face. Tell them, use what you got. But the reason why this series is so important for us, I think, because as we talk about generosity, one of the things that we oftentimes miss is that it's much bigger than a dollar amount. It's much bigger than time contributed. It's much bigger than our abilities that we use. But it's connected to life change. It's connected to something great that God wants to do. Being generous is at the core of it. It's all about honoring God. But it's also what God uses to change the lives of other people, hence why we call this series Making Change. One of my favorite shows that my wife Ariel and I, we watch kind of religiously. We haven't watched it a whole lot recently, but we typically watch it quite a bit together, usually like on a Friday night and kind of just hanging out once the kids go to bed and all that good stuff, is this show by the name of Shark Tank. How many of you guys have ever heard of Shark Tank before? Mark Cuban is up there. A few other celebrities are up there. The thing that we love about the show Shark Tank is that you hear these amazing entrepreneurs who like sacrifice everything to launch a business, right? And if you watch the show, like, you know, you have all these different, these very well-known business moguls and they're billionaires and, I mean, they're self-made, you know, billionaires and entrepreneurs and they have all these skills and they have all this wisdom and all this type of stuff, and the people come before them and they pretty much make a pitch as to why the Sharks should invest their resources into them, right? And I'll be real with you guys. I always love it when, like, I see people get up here and they have, like, the worst product, but they believe that they have the best product, and they try to convince the Sharks that they have the best product, and then the Sharks just kind of, like, devour them right there and pretty much said, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out, I'm out. And then all of a sudden, you see the person who came in with this grand idea, they have the puppy dog face. Like, nobody believes in me. Nobody thinks that I'm going to make it, but I'm going to show them how, right? And they kind of get this grit in them and all this type of stuff. I love that part, and here's the reason why I love that part. I love it because sometimes what we think is that when it comes to our generosity, that it's always going to compute or make sense the way we want it to make sense. Here's what I mean by that. Like, a lot of times, we think that generosity is all about how we benefit. It has nothing to do with us and how we benefit. It has everything to do with others. And the thing that the Sharks usually have in common, and the reason why they do invest in somebody or don't invest in somebody, is not because it's a great product. It's, does the product meet a need? Because if the product doesn't meet a need, and if it's not scalable, for those of us who are business people, you know what that means. If it's not scalable, in other words, like if it can't be reciprocated in a very easy fashion, that's not going to cause you to lose a whole lot of money, but rather bring money in, then there's no point in investing in it. But the other thing that I love about Shark Tank is you hear the stories. The stories especially of those who come on the show, especially those when the Sharks invest in them, but everybody who comes on that show has a story. And the story is typically the reason why they launched out and came up with the product in the first place. It started with a need. And it was maybe a need that took place and arose in their own life. And out of their own need, they figured out a way to meet that need and had the thought, I think there's some other people who had the same exact need that I have. So because my need has been met, I want to create something. I want to be generous in a way that meets other people's needs. And the thread there is what we're kind of getting at with this entire series. That before you can bring about change, you first have to be changed. Like, before you can actually help somebody, you yourself first have to be helped. Like, before I can be generous, I had to have been on the receiving end of some type of generosity. Does this make sense? That's the whole concept of this Making Change series. That people who make change have first themselves been changed. That's what this whole text is about, Matthew 5. That's the Cliff Notes version. That changed people want to see a change take place in people. That people who've been impacted want to make an impact. It starts with being changed. That's what you see here with this guy by the name of Levi. And Luke, the guy who wrote this particular account of this story, who wrote this book, The Gospel According to Luke, he zooms in on this story that centers around two people, obviously Jesus, the main character in every story, but also Levi. Now, one of the things that you got to understand about this guy by the name of Levi is Levi has a very interesting occupation. But before I kind of get into his occupation, let me kind of tell you a little bit about Levi. In that first century Greco-Roman context, people typically had not just one name, but typically would have two names. So Levi, who was Jewish, had the name Levi. But because he was under Roman law in Roman territory, he also had a Roman name, which was known as Matthew. For those of us who are Bible scholars, you're already firing off. Like, hold on. The same Matthew who wrote the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament? Yes, that same Matthew. And it's interesting here because what you see in this story is how Levi gets his life changed. And now, as a consequence, he wants to see other people's lives changed. But I think Levi is somebody that we could all identify with. And I love how the Bible oftentimes gives us real life characters that we can identify with, because a lot of times when you read scripture, it's easy to kind of think, man, I can't identify with anything that I see in scripture. But I think all of us can actually identify with Levi to an extent. Levi, just to give you a little bit more background, he was a tax collector, as you kind of see here in this passage of scripture. He was a tax collector for Rome. Tax collectors in that first century context had the worst reputation, because they were known as people who would take advantage of people. They would charge people more to pay their taxes than they actually needed to charge them so that they could make the extra money. In other words, they were making more off of the commission that they got than they actually needed to. They were taking advantage of people. Very similar to how payday loans take advantage of people now. Y'all ain't never noticed how so many payday loans around here? Huh? We'll charge you 20% just to give you your money. Well, you ain't getting my money. You took 20% of it. That's more than I give the Lord. It's a whole other story, man. Tax collectors were despised in their day. They were despised because of the fact that they took advantage of people. They were known for cheating and making commission on the taxes they collected and at an overcharge rate. But Jews also despised tax collectors because of the fact that they worked for Rome. Jews considered people who were Romans as Gentiles. And if you look all throughout the scripture, what you kind of constantly see is this thread between Jew and Gentile. If you weren't pure-blooded Jew, you were considered to be a Gentile. And Jews considered Gentiles to be an unclean people group. That would be you and me, because if we're not pure-blooded Jewish, we would be considered Gentiles. And so not only was Levi a tax collector, and not only was he looked at as the scum of the world, the lowest on the totem pole, nobody liked him, he was not popular, he had no followers on Instagram, no followers on Twitter, no friends on Facebook, he would friend request somebody, they would block him. Hey, you want to be my friend? No, Levi, stop asking. He had the Steve Urkel genetics. Nobody wants to be Urkel's friend. Nobody wanted to be Levi's friend, because he took advantage of people. People would actually go out of their way to connect, to not connect with Levi. He's scum on the earth, y'all. He was the worst. Nobody liked him. But then comes Jesus. After verse 27, or at the end of verse 27, notice what it says. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. Notice that it says Jesus went out and saw a tax collector. Here's why I think that's important. Because a lot of times we'll say things like, man, I found God. No, you didn't, because you were never looking for God. God found you. While Levi was chilling at the tax booth, collecting taxes from people, making money off of people, swindling people, Jesus already had his eye on Levi. In other words, let me say it like this. While Levi was in his sin, Jesus already had his eye on him. Why is that good news? It's good news because what it shows is that no matter where I am in life, no matter what it is I'm doing in life, if I'm rebelling against God, not even thinking about God, God is still thinking about me. Jesus is still pursuing me. Jesus still wants to be in a relationship with me. Jesus is still coming after me. And many of us in here, your story wasn't that you were found at a tax booth. Your story was that you were found at a club. Oh, it's quiet now. For those of us who actually are followers of Christ, remember where you were and what you were doing and who you were before Jesus actually stepped in your life. Jesus found you. You ain't found Jesus. You won't think about Jesus. You won't think about Jesus no Saturday night throwing him back. You won't think about Jesus. Let's be real. You won't thinking about Jesus when you're in that bed with that person. You won't thinking about Jesus when you're cussing that person out. You won't thinking about Jesus. But because of his great love for us, Jesus says, I want to be in a relationship with you. And he comes to Levi and he says, come follow me. Jesus relentlessly pursues people. And I think that's so important for us to understand, because a lot of times if you have an understanding of God that's not true, you may think that God is out to get you. No, God is out to be in a relationship with you. God is not trying to keep a record of all your wrongs. God is not sitting up here saying, hey, the next time you blow it is the next time I'm going to take your life, or the next time I'm going to do this, or the next time I'm going to strike something upon you. No, God is saying, I want to be in a life-giving, loving relationship with you. I want to be with you. I love you. I created you in my likeness and I'm in my image. I have a plan for your life. I have something great that I want to see accomplished in your life. I'm not against you. I'm for you. And I think that's the message that so many people need to hear. That God's not against you, man. He's for you. He sent Jesus to come get you, to come bring you into a relationship with him, which is why Jesus says this at the end of verse 27. Come, follow me. Follow me is a phrase that Jesus would use all throughout the New Testament to denote him calling us into a relationship with himself. So he says, come, follow me. Follow me. In other words, Levi, I want you to come hang with me. Nobody wants to be in a relationship with you, but guess what I do? Nobody cares about you, Levi, but guess what I do? Everybody thinks that you're the worst. Levi, I got an amazing plan and purpose for your life. Nobody wants to associate themselves with you. Levi, I want to connect with you. I want to hang with you. I don't know about anybody else. I love the fact that Jesus, in the midst of my sinfulness, says, I still want to be with you. Am I alone in here, or is that true? Anybody excited about the fact that Jesus says, no matter how far you stray away from me, I'm still pursuing you? Does anybody know that to be true? Is that good news for anybody in here this morning? Like, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that even when I strayed away, you as the good shepherd still came and found me. That's why the scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, he comes to find me, y'all. Because all of us in here, as the scriptures say, are like sheep, we stray away, man. But the good shepherd, he comes and he finds us. Jesus came and found Levi. And notice what verse 28 says. It says this, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Levi got up, left everything, followed him. Hold on, man. Now, nowhere in scripture do we ever see that Jesus and Levi have a previous interaction. Not at all. So on the surface, it seems like it's somewhat strange that Levi would just pick up everything or leave everything behind and come follow Jesus. But one of the things that you got to understand is back in that context, because of Levi's position, because of him being a tax collector, because of where his booth was situated, which happened to be at the same place where Jesus quite frequently traveled, this wasn't the first time that Levi saw Jesus. This wasn't the first time that Levi heard about Jesus. Levi heard about some of the things that Jesus was doing. Levi heard about the news that was spreading. He saw it trending on Twitter. He saw it trending on Facebook. He saw Fox News talking about it. He saw CNN talking about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just pops up at his tax booth and says, come follow me. This is the same Jesus Levi's probably thinking that heals people. This is the same Jesus that I heard forgives people. This is the same Jesus that I heard this could be the Messiah. And now all of a sudden he popped up and he comes to talk to me when nobody else wants to come talk to me. Everybody else goes out of their way to avoid me. All of a sudden he sees something in me. I'm leaving everything behind to come follow Jesus. Leaves everything. Mind you, y'all, he's not just leaving anything. He's leaving a very lucrative business to follow Jesus. He's sacrificing some stuff to follow Jesus. He's probably even sacrificing his reputation. But you know what? Levi cares nothing about that, because what he sees in Jesus is a fresh start. What he sees in Jesus is a new opportunity. What he sees in Jesus is a new life. And that is the same thing that Jesus wants for all of us in here. Because Jesus says, I didn't just come just so that way I can forgive you of your sins. No, I want to give you a new life. I want to give you a hope. I want to give you a new purpose. Here's what scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Do y'all see that? Anybody who belongs to Christ has become a new person. In other words, when you're in Christ, you are no longer who you used to be. You have a new identity. You have a new path. You have a new purpose. Yes, you may have the same name, but you got a whole new identity. You are not who you used to be. And many of us need to hear that word, because you made the decision to follow Jesus Christ a long time ago, but you ain't been living like it. You haven't been living up to the new name. You've been living according to your old name. And Jesus is saying, I set you free a long time ago. You came to me a long time ago. You said yes to me a long time ago. But yet you've been going back to the tax booth. I'm calling you out of it. Because I got something great that I want to do in your life. Any person who's in Christ is a new person. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. But y'all, that's not the end of the story. And a lot of times we stop right there. Thank you, Jesus. You saved me. You gave me a new life. Cool. I'm going to just go live life the way I want to. No, 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 no. That's only part one. That's the first half. The second half is what I do in response to what Jesus has done for me. Which picks up in verse 29. Notice this, that after Jesus steps in and says, follow me, he says, scripture says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. I don't know if y'all caught what just happened here. Verse 27 to 28, Levi has this personal encounter with Jesus. By the way, Jesus wants a relationship with you. I don't know if I said that already. He wants a relationship. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. That's what he wants. And now in response to this relationship that Levi now has with Jesus, now Levi wants the others come to know Jesus. In other words, Levi wants to create the space for change to happen. Levi wants to make change happen. Because he himself has been changed by Jesus, he wants to see others changed by Jesus. So here's what happens first. Here's what verse 29 teaches us when Levi holds his great banquet. That using what we have for Jesus, when we talk about using what we got, what are some of the things that we have that we can use for Jesus to see a life change take place in the lives of others? Here's the first thing. Number one, we can use our possessions. Look at what verse 29 says again. Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. Let me contextualize it in 2017. You know what this is code for? Levi threw a party for Jesus. Like, party. I don't know if you notice or not. See, a lot of times when people read the Bible, you know, we kind of just look at it like, oh, it's boring. It's a drag. There's nothing fun about it. That's the complete opposite of what you see in Scripture. It's constant themes of a party going on. It's what you're partying for. That's the difference. Ain't no twerking going on at these type of parties. Not at all. These type of parties are celebrating God for his goodness. These type of parties are celebrating God for what he's done. These type of parties are lifting up the name of Jesus because he's so good, because he's so loving, because he's so faithful, because he's so merciful. Back in the day, they would say something like this, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. When you get to heaven, it's going to be a Holy Ghost party taking place and it ain't stopping for all of eternity. Y'all think these little parties that y'all go to on earth is something? Man, please, they ain't got nothing on heaven's party. Look at the book of Revelation. Some of us like, oh, Revelation, that's scary. No, it's awesome. It's going to be a party taking place in heaven. And I got my RSVP already stamped, dog. Hope to see you there, too. Whole nother mess for a whole nother time. Levi throws a banquet. He throws a party. He has food. They're eating. Pastor friend of mine says, there's no meeting without any eating. Levi knew that. What's the best way I can get people to my crib? Oh, food. Who turns down food? They might turn down Jesus, but they ain't gonna turn down no food. Turn down for what? No. No, not at all. Who turning down farm fresh fried chicken, grilled chicken? Who turning down some Olive Garden unlimited breadsticks, minestrone soup, and unlimited pasta bowl? Who turning that down? Who turning down unlimited Chick-fil-A in Jesus' name? Who turning that down? Who's turning it down, y'all? Turn down for what? Maybe I should have called this message, turn down for what? Because Levi don't turn it down, he turns it up. He throws a party. He uses his own possessions. Notice what it says. He throws a banquet for Jesus at his own house. House party, before kid and play, house party. House party. That's what he's doing. He throws his big party. He uses his own possessions. He spends out of the abundance of what he has. Isn't it interesting that Levi's gone from being greedy to being generous? He left the lifestyle of taking something from people to now walk into a lifestyle of giving something to people. Isn't it interesting how Jesus makes a change in our lives? Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can take a greedy person and make him a generous person. Only Jesus can make a selfish person into a selfless person. Only Jesus can do that. I know some of us in here who don't know Jesus yet, or you do know Jesus, like you kind of pat yourself on the back because I do so many great things for people. It's not because of you. It's because of what Jesus has done for you. You're not good in and of yourself. No, not at all. Let somebody catch you on the wrong day without Jesus. Huh? Levi says, I'm going to use my possessions to honor Jesus because of what Jesus has done for me. Jesus called me into a relationship with himself. I'm going to use what I got for Jesus. Here's what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. In other words, use it for his purpose. Use it for his glory. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. In other words, with your best. Don't give Jesus the leftovers. I don't think Matthew went and threw a party and said, hey, go get some of that leftover food in the refrigerator that's been there for 2 weeks. Got some mold growing in it. Y'all know how some of y'all do. It's still good. No, it's not. It's got stuff going on it. It's things coming out of it. No. I'm pretty sure that Levi put in work to make this one of the biggest parties of the year. That at the end of the year, 2017, or back in that first century context, Ryan Seacrest will be talking about party of the year, Levi. Levi got the best of food, I'm pretty sure. He used his own house. He opened up his own home. Let me help us understand something. When it comes to being generous, man, there is no limit on what we use for God. Not one bit. Some of us are like, I don't want to have nobody over. I don't want to do nothing nice for people, man. Hasn't Jesus done something great for you? Didn't Jesus invite you into his home called heaven? Who am I to say, I'm not going to open up my home. I'm not going to be nice. I'm not going to be generous. No, after everything that Jesus has done for me, I'm going to give back to God. Let me say it like this. We give back to God because God first gave to us. In other words, we use everything we have for Jesus so that people would know him. You know what I'm about to do on Halloween? We always do this every year. We don't do like the whole dress-up thing necessarily. Like sometimes we're like, oh, we may do it, sometimes we may not. But here's the biggest thing that we want to use Halloween for. We want to use it as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. So when kids come to our house, I want them to know, man, that's the house with the banging candy. Man, they just dump trucks of candy into our bags. I want to be known for that. Because at the same time, I'm going to drop a little invite card to the Bridge Church. I'm going to leverage that. Now, I know for some of us who are like really, you know, kind of iffy on the whole Halloween thing, I don't know. You realize that Jesus can redeem anything? Do you realize that he can use it? Didn't he use you? You and I were much more wicked than a day called Halloween. You realize that, right? If he can use you, can't he use a day? So don't throw it out the bathwater, use it. Use it for the glory of God. Use it so that way people know about it. When them kids come over there banging on, matter of fact, they ain't even gonna knock on the door. I'm gonna be sitting out there on the porch. Y'all ready? Huh? I got some more in the back. Y'all want some more? Come on, go get your friends. Go tell your mom and daddy and get some candy too. Use it for the glory of God. Levi understood that. He says, I'm using my possessions. I'm gonna use everything I have at my disposal. You got a big vehicle? Man, drive people to church on Sunday. Like, seriously, what's the point of having a big vehicle for one person? Go pick somebody up. Hey, you come to church with me today. I don't got a ride. Cool, I got one. Take somebody to work for the glory of God. Be generous. Be generous. Don't just be like an Uber driver trying to make money off of people. You got some gas money? No, man. Be generous. Open up your heart. Open up your resources. You go out to eat today. You go out to eat this week. Leave a big tip. Pastor, I don't know about that, man. If I don't get good service, I ain't leaving jack. You realize that grace is not about what you deserve. Grace is God demonstrating his love to you even though you did not deserve it. What better way to show grace and mercy than by tipping somebody big who jacked up your meal? It's real quiet right here. Old preachers say you can hear a rat running around on the floor when that happened. But Pastor, I don't know about that. Because they didn't do right by me. Did you do right by Jesus? But yet he still extended grace to you? So we're generous. We share our possessions. Go out to eat. Leave a big tip. Pay for somebody's meal. Give to your church. I shared last week about a story of how somebody gave $40,000 to their church. This wasn't somebody who was like a millionaire. They literally took some stuff out of retirement, cashed in, and said, I want to give it to the church because I believe that putting it in God's hands is better than it being my own. What in the world kind of faith is that? Because their hearts have been changed by Jesus. Let me say it like that: our possessions have a greater purpose when Jesus is at the center. A better, greater purpose when Jesus is at the center. But not only our possessions, but here's what also Levi does. He uses his platform or his position. Go back to verse 29. It says here that a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. How did tax collectors get there? Who were these tax collectors? These were people that Levi was in relationship with. These were some of his business partners. These were some people who were fellow co-workers. He used his platform of other tax collectors to bring them to the party. Because if Jesus can change me as a wicked tax collector, I believe he can do the same for my co-workers. That's what he does. He uses his position. And every person in here, you have a position of influence in some capacity, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your community, whether you sit on a board, you have a position of influence. And Jesus says, use that so that way people can come into a relationship with me. Use it. Use what you got. That's what it's all about. Change people want to see others change. The question is, what are you using your platform and your position for? Use your social media so that way other people can know Jesus. Stop posting all these pictures about yourself. Don't nobody want to see you. Show Jesus, man. Post something encouraging. They don't have nothing to do with you. At least limit it to like twice a week when you post about yourself. Post about God's goodness in your life. People need to see that. People need to hear. That's why I'm always telling you, when you come here on Sunday, man, go to Facebook, tweet stuff, take pictures with people, hashtag or whatever, check in on Facebook, whatever it is, but let people see God's goodness through the platforms and the positions that he's given you in your life. Use them for him because it leads to life change for other people. But understand this, man. That when you use your platform for Jesus, it's not always going to be popular. There are going to be some people that are lurking on the sides, calling you into question for what you're doing. Why are you always posting stuff like scriptures on your Facebook and your Instagram and your Twitter? Why you always do that? We don't want to see all that scripture. You go to your job. Why you always smiling? Why you always talking about I'm praying for you? It's not going to be popular. You're going to have some people who are self-righteous that come at you because they came at Jesus here in this text. When you look at verse 30 through 32, we get ready to wrap up here. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Check out what's happening here. Matthew or Levi throws this big party for Jesus. He invites all of his tax collector friends and all of the people that were considered to be sinners in that context to the party. The Pharisees, who were religious teachers of the law, they were self-righteous church people, were like, hold on, you hanging out with them? You eating with those people? You're talking to those people? You're spending time with those sinful people? Messed up people, but what the Pharisees failed to realize is that they were just as much a sinner as everybody else who was at the table. Matter of fact, the people that Jesus had the biggest issues with in Scripture weren't people who knew that they were a sinner. It was people who didn't realize that they were, called Pharisees. Matter of fact, here's what Jesus will say in Matthew 23. He has harsh words for them. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! The only people he calls hypocrites in Scripture are people who think they got it all together and believe they got it all together and tell everybody they got it all together but really don't and don't see it. Them the ones he calls hypocrites. He says, you're like whitewashed tombs. Man, that's a cuss word right there, man. He says, which look beautiful on the outside. In other words, on the outside, you look good to everybody. Oh, man, they just got it all together. But notice what he says here. But on the inside, you are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. He says, on the surface, you got it all going on. You look like you got it all together. You go to church on Sunday, you got your little Bible in your hand or on your phone. They say good morning. The first impressions team says good morning. Oh, how you doing this morning? I'm blessed. God is good. But on the inside, man, you're dead spiritually. You put up a good front, but you're far from God. And Jesus is like, that's hypocritical. Because you think you're better than you are, better off than you are, but you couldn't be so much farther from the truth than you actually are. Here's what Romans 3 says. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're made right with God. You're not made right with God because you come to church on Sunday. You're not made right with God because you know scriptures. You're not made right with God because you go to the Bridge Church. You're not made right with God because you give. You're not made right with God because you serve. You are only made right with God by placing your faith in Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross and through his resurrection. That's the only way you are made right with God. Here's what it says next. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Verse 23, for everyone has sinned. Do you see what Paul is saying in Romans? Everybody has sinned. So when the tax collectors say, you're eating with those sinners, what they fail to realize is that you are a sinner too because you have sinned. You're far from God. You're messed up. It says everybody has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet Christ Jesus, God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life by shedding his blood. Who's a sinner? All of us in here. I don't know if you knew that. All of us in here. Because all of us in here have rebelled against God in some capacity. And the only thing that makes us right with God is by us believing in what Jesus has done for us on the cross through his shed blood for our sinfulness. That's the only thing that makes us right with God. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they didn't see it. So when Jesus says something like this, I didn't come for the righteous. Or better yet, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. What does Jesus mean by this? Every person who is a sinner is sick. They have this spiritual disease called sin in their life. And the only way that spiritual sickness can be healed is by my blood. In other words, you need a blood transfusion. All of us in here are sick. The Pharisees were sick and didn't realize it. They were the walking dead and didn't realize it. Some of y'all love that show. Didn't have a clue. Blind to it. And many of us in here, some of us in here, man, we're blind to the fact that we're spiritually sick and we don't recognize how much we need the blood of Christ. But Jesus comes to show us that in spite of our sin, he wants to restore our relationship with God. He wants us to be a part of his family. He proved that by going to meet Levi at his tax booth in his place of sin, calling him out of that. That leads to now Levi creating a space so that way other people who were just like Levi can come hear about the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. That is exactly what God wants us to do with our lives. In other words, he wants us to create the space so life change can take place. He wants us to be generous. So that way change can take place in the lives of other people. Do you know that the whole reason this conversation took place between Jesus and the Pharisees was because Levi decided that he wanted to be generous? The reason why all types of people are at the table eating with Jesus is because through Levi, God worked and got other people at the table. Let me say it like this, that your position is meant to be a platform for the presence of God. Your position, what God has done in your life, where God has brought you to, what God has placed you in, he has done that so that way it can become a platform for his presence. That's it. So that way other people can dine with him at the table. And just to kind of show you guys this, I'm closing. I want to close with this illustration. I want to show you guys kind of like a vivid picture of how our generosity impacts people. Now I'm gonna get my Arnold Schwarzenegger on and lift up this table. Show you guys I work out on a regular. Man, that was heavy, y'all. Just joking. Matter of fact, let me turn it this way, because you know, when you throw a party, you gotta make sure everything's set up right. Some of us throw parties and like, man, I don't care if socks and kids is all over the place. But one of the things that's amazing is when you think about this setting, I want you to visualize and picture Levi setting up the table, being generous. I want you to picture how Levi is moving furniture around. He's getting everything ready. He's moving chairs, and he's moving a Lazy Boy recliner, and he's picking up the Frito-Lays and the Doritos that were under the couch and vacuuming and got the Febreze and the essential oil diffuser bubbling in the background for those of you guys who love that kind of stuff. He's doing it big. All the RSVPs have already gone out. He's already told everybody, hey, come to my crib. I got some big plan, and I got somebody there I want you to meet. And so now, through his generosity, what Levi is doing is he's just setting everything up. He's setting the stage. He's getting all the chairs out of the closet. He's dusting them off, all that good stuff. He's going hard with it. And so, as he's setting the stage, he's thinking about his coworker. Man, Bob, man, he a worse tax collector than me. That dude be taking 30% from people. I just try to take 15. This dude needs Jesus. So he's thinking of Bob as he's being generous. He's like, all right, cool. I'm gonna set Bob right here so that way he can have a prime spot next to Jesus because he needs him. Then we got Carol. Man, she's not a tax collector, man, but she works the corner. She needs Jesus. Then I'm gonna get Jeff. And he's trying to find fulfillment. I'm snorting coke every day. And he needs Jesus too. I can identify with him because I remember, this is what Levi's thinking, I remember how it was before Jesus came and visited me at my tax booth, how I was lost and how I thought that satisfaction was found in the things that I get, but true joy is not about what I'm just receiving, but it's all about what I'm giving. And so then he's like, man, so I got those. Man, who else? Who else? Oh, Michael, my neighbor. Man, this guy needs him. Because he's been trying to find fulfillment through all these different relationships. I'm going to sit him right across from Jesus so he can look at him dead in his face. Then he just continues to go down the list. Person after person. Setting up chairs, doing it big. And what Levi is showing us is that as he's being generous, you know what he's doing? He's creating space at a table for people. And matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that Levi's like, man, it's not enough. I need about 10 more tables. Because the more generous you are, the more chairs that are set up at the table. And when we think about our generosity, I don't want us to think about it in terms of a dollar amount. I want us to think about it in terms of people. That every time you give your time or your effort or your abilities or use your platform, it's making room at the table. And I don't know if you knew this or not, Jesus loves to sit at the table and eat meals with different people. Matter of fact, we do this thing called the Lord's Supper, where he gathered with his disciples in an upper room. All of them were jacked up. One of them was getting ready to betray him. One of them, somebody who was really close to him, was about to deny him 3 times, but yet Jesus sat at the table with them. Can you imagine the conversations? Not just that he was having with his disciples, but can you imagine the type of conversations that were happening with all these people who were at Levi's crib at this party? Can you imagine the conversations that were happening? The Bible doesn't tell us that these people gave their lives to Christ, but I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that I believe that a few people who were at this table, not only did they know about Jesus in this moment, but they came to know Jesus personally. And how it started was because a man named Levi, who was once a sinner, who was once far from God, said, I've been changed. I want to see a change take place in the lives of other people. I'm going to create space so that we others can experience what I've experienced. And do you know what your generosity does? It creates the space so that way Jesus can recline back and just chill with all of your friends, with all of your family. You have family members right now who need to be at the table with Jesus so that way they can experience his love and his grace. You have friends right now who don't know Jesus. You walk by him every day at work. You hear people talk about him. You know a little bit about their story, but you've yet to even extend Christ to them. You've yet to even extend an invite to church to them. You've yet to even think about them in a greater way as to how you can benefit them and be a blessing to them. And Jesus is saying, would you just set the table? Would you just set the table? And so that's why we do this. You want to know why we planted this church? We didn't plant this church so that way you guys could just come here and enjoy good worship. That's part of it. But most of all, we planted this church so that way people who are not at the table could come be at the table. Is this making sense? Does this excite anybody or is it just me? Because there's nothing like seeing a life changed. And if you need proof of that, look at your own life. Because you were once not at this table. But now because of the generosity of our Lord, you're sitting at the table. And you're able to take part in His grace and His mercy and His love. And I believe that what God wants to do in our church is He wants to raise up people in our church, myself included, who would say, man, what God has given me, it is not mine anymore. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do to impact the lives of other people. It's about creating space at the table. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, here's my prayer for us this morning. That we would say, God, I no longer want to use what I have for my own self, but rather I want to use what I have to create space so life change can take place. Because it's not about me, it's about what you want to do through me. And I believe if you would open up your heart and just say, God, what can I give? What can I use so that others may know you? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that as we've heard your message this morning, that we would no longer be selfish when it comes to our generosity, but rather that we would be people who are generous, just like Levi was, that we would open up our homes, open up our resources, open up our possessions, our positions, whatever it may be. I pray that we would use it for the good of others, that they would know you, because that's what you did for us. In Jesus' name, while every head is bowed, every eye is still closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't know this great gift, you don't know His love, you don't know His mercy, you recognize you're a sinner, you've messed up, you've made mistakes, but today Jesus says, hey, I want to get you in a relationship with me just like I did Levi, and I don't care what you've done, I don't care where you are, I don't care how far you've drifted away from me, I want to be in a relationship with you. If that's you this morning and you're saying, that's me, Pastor, while nobody's looking, while heads are bowed and while eyes are closed, could you just do me a favor and just lift up your hand just so I can see you? If you could just be honest, if that's your heart's desire, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning. I thought it was about coming to church that would make me right with God, but I realized this morning it's not. It's about me believing in Christ. So if that's you, just lift up your hand. I'm not going to call you on the spot. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to see you just so I can lead you in a moment of prayer really quick. If that's you, that's your heart's desire. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm committing myself to Jesus this morning. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have a new life. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's put our hands together for our good, gracious God. Come on. We can do better than that this morning. Amen. Amen. So here's a few things that I want us to do. If you're here and you just made a decision to give Christ your life, you prayed that prayer for the first time ever, you've made the greatest decision that you could ever make. And what I want you to do is to pull out that worship guide, and in it we have a connection card. On that connection card, it says my decision today. I want you to check the box that says I'm committing my life to Christ and drop that in the bucket as you guys leave out, because we're going to share with you how you can grow and some next steps as to how you can become who God has called you to become. We believe that God has an amazing purpose and a plan for your life, that just as God used Levi in his life, that God wants to use you as well. Amen, church. Come on, church. Let's make some noise one more time for those who made a decision to give Christ their life. Come on. Amen. Amen. So as we prepare to go, I'm going to ask us as a church family, for those of us who call the Bridge Church your home, to go ahead and get in here.